looked at verses 1 through 12, which deal with marriage, divorce, remarriage. And we taught on those. And I told you that there was a lot of material in that section, and that this week we would be in that same text. But we're not going to be talking this week about marriage and divorce, because we talked about that last week. And the focus of the text is on marriage and divorce and remarriage. If you want to hear that, that's been posted on the website. You can go there and hear it. It's austinif.org if you want to hear it. But there's a lot more in here that deals with a lot of contemporary issues, and I want to talk about some of those things just to help us as believers think biblically about a lot of issues that are around us. And so so that's what we're going to do today. We're going to actually talk about a number of different issues, things like transgenderism, homosexuality, things of these gender type issues. And all of the issues we're going to address today are issues that we could do an entire sermon, in fact, an entire series of sermons on each issue. And we're not going to do that just for time's sake. We're not going to spend the next 5 weeks in this text. We're just going to give a very broad overview of how this text and how Jesus would fit some of these issues that we face in today's society. And so it's going to be an overview, which means I'm not going to address every single question or possibility or whatnot that you might have. And that's just a matter of I don't have time to do it. So what I'm going to do is read. This is Matthew 19. We read it last week. I'm going to read it again today. Here's what it says, starting in verse 1. Now when Jesus had finished these sayings, he went away from Galilee and entered the region of Judea beyond the Jordan. And large crowds followed him, and he healed them there. And Pharisees came up to him and tested him by asking, "Is it lawful to divorce one's wife for any cause?" He answered, "Have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female? And said, 'Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh.' So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate." They said to him, "Why then did Moses command one to give a certificate of divorce and to send her away?" He said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, Moses allowed you to divorce your wives. But from the beginning it was not so. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery." The disciples said to him, "If such is the case of a man with his wife, it is better not to marry." But he said to them, "Not everyone can receive this saying, but only those to whom it is given. For there are eunuchs who have been so from birth, and there are eunuchs who have been made eunuchs by men. And there are eunuchs who have made themselves eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. Let the one who is able to receive this, receive it." Okay. What I want to do is, I want to talk about, Jesus is dealing with marriage here. because he's dealing with marriage, he's dealing with some other issues as well that are tied up with marriage, and one of those issues deals with gender. And so I want to start in verse 4. So I just want you to look there. If you've got a Bible, look at verse 4. So they've asked him about divorce, and he says, verse 4, "Haven't you read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female?" And so Jesus is quoting Genesis there. He's quoting Genesis 1:27, where it says that God made them male and female. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And so God made the human race male and female. What that means is that this idea of gender, God created it. Gender is God's idea. He actually likes it. And so God made male and God made female. It also means that male is not female. They're not synonyms. It's why we have two, not one. He didn't make male and male or female and he made there's actually a difference between male and female biblically, which means that male and female are not interchangeable. They are equal in value. They are equal in spiritual capacity. They're equal in their ability to know God and honor God and reflect God. And they're equal in all of these ways. But they're not the same. And so this is the first thing I want to say. And we're using this text, the male and female, where Jesus is quoting Genesis. Going back to the beginning of the original creation. And that's the first thing I want to say is this is good. It's made by God. They're not the same thing. Men and women are not identical, though they have the same value. They both have the image of God. That's actually also in Genesis chapter 1, which is what gives us our value. And so I want to say to be careful of people who will tell you that equality means interchangeableness. And it's not true. I know that there'll be people, at least in my culture here in America, and maybe in some of your culture, certainly in Germany, there will be people who will say this is a bit crazy, but women make better mothers than men do. And men make better fathers than women do. And children flourish best when they have a mother and a father. And this is rather basic and simple, but I would catch a lot of heat if I said that in public here in America, and yet it's true. It also means husbands and wives relate to one another in different ways. Brothers and sisters relate to one another in different ways. Now, I know when I say all these things, I'm making broad generalizations. I understand that. I'm telling you flat out, it's a generalization. I also know that there can be exceptions to those generalizations. There can be sisters who, you know, are sometimes acting more like brothers. And anyway, there are exceptions to what I'm saying. But as a generalization, those generalizations are true, so long as we understand them as such. And so we need to understand that biblically speaking, a man is not a woman. And that biblically, that difference between male and female is really good. This is one of the things I wish I could scream to my culture and my society that wants to wipe away all the differences, is that you're wiping away such a good thing. It's really good that men and women are different. God made it, and He likes it. So if you're a woman, what I want to say to you is I want to honor you as a woman. Not just as a human, but as a woman. And I want you to see that being a woman is a beautiful thing. I want you to see that God made female and God made you female. And that's not a mistake. And so I want you to embrace being a woman of God. Not just being a person of God, but being a woman of God. And if you were a man, I would say the same thing. I want to honor you as a man, not just as a human, but as a man. And I want you to see being a man as a beautiful thing. Because God made male, and He made you male. And that's not a mistake. And so embrace being a man of God, not just being a person of God. And so this is the first thing I want to say. God made gender. You look at verse 4 again. Have you not read that He who created them from the beginning made them male and female? God made them that way. And He made you and me whatever gender we are. And so to be healthy as a man or to be healthy as a woman is to accept the gender God made you as. Now, this gets at the transgender issue today, and I know that the concept of transgenderism, at least in the West, America, Europe, is extremely popular. And we as Christians need to show compassion to people who are transgender people. People who think they belong to a gender other than their biological gender. Those people are hurting. They really are. And they need our prayers and they need our love. But part of the reason why they are hurting is that they do not accept who they are. Because gender is something God makes. It's verse 4. God made them male and female. God makes gender. Gender is not something you get to decide. You can't say, I feel female, therefore I am. That's not the way it works. It's not a matter of how you feel or what you want. It is what it is. It's a biological reality that God made. And so biblically, we need to see this, the transgender issue, as brokenness. It's people who are broken and have compassion on them. Because, I mean, let's be honest, aren't you and I broken too? We just took communion for our sins, which means we should see ourselves as broken too, apart from Jesus Christ. And so we need to show them, transgender folks, love, because that's actually what they need. Now, we can go on that issue, but I told you I'm not going to deal with every issue in detail. I don't have time. We can talk more offline if you want to. But this matter, this idea of male and female addresses more than transgender ideology, which we see around us. It also suggests differing roles. So I want to talk a little bit about that as well. And we're not going to go into detail on it either for time's sake. But I want you to think this through. If a man is not a woman, then while there may be a lot of overlap in what God designed a man and a woman to do, their roles are not identical. If man and woman are identical, then why do we even have man and woman? Why do we have two that are identical? Why not just call them one and let's just be one? And yet that's not what it is. It's you know, I say this all the time about creation. When anybody creates something, he creates it for a purpose. And you may create two things with the same overall purpose, but that have different roles to achieve that purpose. For example, a nut and a bolt. Just think of a nut and a bolt for a moment. I don't know if you all know what that is. It's think of a metal, kind of like a little tiny screw, and a bolt is, looks like a donut, and you screw it on, and it you use it to fasten things together, to attach things together. And the nut and the bolt are two pieces, but they both have the same overall purpose, and the same overall purpose is to fasten two things together. But they do not have the same role in doing that. They're different. They're equal. We don't say that the bolt is more important than the nut, or the nut is more important than the bolt. They're both equal, but that doesn't mean they do exactly the same thing. They're different. And if everything was a nut, you wouldn't be able to fasten things together. Or if everything was a bolt, you wouldn't be able to fasten things together. And so, but when you have them working together and performing complementary roles, they fulfill their purpose. This is male and female. So biblically, and we see this in the Bible, we see this with husbands and wives, we see this in the church, we see this in different places in Scripture. Scripture actually does give different roles for man and woman in the home and in the church. And when they fulfill those roles, it's like a nut and a bolt working together to do what the nut and the bolt are supposed to do. What it means is that husbands, you must never consider yourself or your role, your leadership role, as more important than the role of your wife. Because without her role, you couldn't function as a family as God means you to function as a family. You actually need her, husbands. And wives, you should never think of your role as unimportant or try to take over what your husband is supposed to do. You need him. There's an older teacher. Her name was Elizabeth Elliot. She's no longer alive, but she was in the 20th century, late 20th century. She died in the 21st century. I forget when, 5-6 years ago. But she wrote a book titled "Let Me Be a Woman," in which she really in the book she was critiquing sort of the popular cultural idea that was telling women to not be women, or redefining what it means. And she was critiquing American society mostly. She's an American, and so I'm sure her critique could apply to more than American society, but she was addressing American society. And it's this concept is really very unpopular. But male and female, if God made two different genders, that means, among other things, that the roles of male and female are not identical. They're equal in value, but they're not identical. And we need to see that and be willing to embrace that. It's part of living in a world that's gendered. Okay, now we could actually do multiple sermons on this, and we're not. I may have raised a whole lot of questions in some of the things that I'm saying, but I'm trying to be very broad here just because I'm trying to cover so much. And again, we can talk offline if you want to pursue a further conversation on, you know, differing roles for male and female, what the Bible has to say about some of that. Just as about transgenderism, if you want to deal with some of that. But I want to move on because there's actually more in this text to deal with. He talks about male and female. And male and female is within the context of a discussion on marriage. And I believe this is addressing the whole idea of gay marriage. Now, I don't believe Jesus had in mind in this conversation what we today consider gay marriage. He wasn't directly talking about gay marriage. That's not what's going on. But I do think it applies. And here's why. It's very common for people today to say, Jesus never spoke about homosexuality. And on one level, they're actually correct. He never did use that word, homosexuality. He did, however, use the word sexual immorality, which included homosexuality in his culture. And he used that word quite frequently. But that's not what I want to focus on here. Very likely, Jesus actually had little reason to use that word within the Jewish first century Jewish culture that he was in. You see, within that world, homosexual practice was extremely rare, and the culture universally considered it to be sexual immorality. No exceptions. It was just, no, you don't do that. And everybody understood that, and it was extremely rare to find that practiced. And because of its rarity within the Jewish world that Jesus ministered to, he really didn't really need to address it specifically. But it doesn't mean he had nothing to say to the modern debate. For while Jesus doesn't talk directly about homosexuality, he actually does talk directly about marriage. And that's the conversation we're having right here. And he actually describes what marriage is. And so look at verses 4 and 5 again. Remember, he's in a conversation with Pharisees. They ask him about divorce. Is it lawful to divorce one's wife for any cause? And he answered, "Have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female and said, 'Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh.'" Now, Jesus just defined marriage for you. And when he describes what marriage is, he's not just giving a description from his day and his culture. Instead, he's actually appealing to the beginning. He's going back to creation. He says in verse 4, look at verse 4 again. Have you not read that he who created them from the beginning? So Jesus isn't talking about first century Jewish culture here. He's talking about Genesis 1 and 2. He's talking about the original creation. And we're talking about marriage going back to the original creation. And he's saying in the original creation, God made them male and female. And then the next phrase Jesus says is, therefore, marriage. He describes what marriage is. He's saying in the beginning, God made marriage gendered. He's saying that one of the foundational characteristics of marriage is male and female. Now, if Jesus were here today, remember, I'm not saying he's actually talking about our modern gay marriage debate. He's not. But if he were here today and he heard all this talk about gay marriage, I think he would actually rebuke us. And you know what I think he would say? I think he would say this. Have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female and said, therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. I think that's what he would say to us. And all I did was quote him. And so what Jesus says about marriage is extremely appropriate to our 21st century discussions. He wasn't addressing gay marriage, and yet he's addressing gay marriage without even doing so. And the reason he's addressing gay marriage is that he's addressing marriage. That's why it fits. Now, there's a whole lot more to say about homosexuality in the Bible. That's another discussion we can have at another time. There are a lot more texts that deal with that issue, and I'm not going to go into those texts here. I really just wanted to talk about what Jesus is saying about marriage, how it addresses so many issues that we see and face today, and help us think biblically about some of those. You know, the Bible addresses a whole lot more than you think it does. Now, finally, the last issue I want to talk about from the text that we're looking at today is the issue of singleness. And so I want to read verses 10 through 12 again. So keep in mind the context. Jesus has just had this conversation with the Pharisees about marriage and divorce and remarriage. And so here's what verses 10 through 12 say. It says, the disciples said to him, if such is the case of a man with his wife, it is better not to marry. But he said to them, not everyone can receive this saying, but only those to whom it is given. For there are eunuchs who have been so from birth, and there are eunuchs who have been made eunuchs by men, and there are eunuchs who have made themselves eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. Let the one who is able to receive this receive it. Jesus, in verse 9, just got done saying that divorce and remarriage is adultery. He just said that. Now, if you were to hear somebody say that, you would say, woo! That's serious. He's told them that marriage is a one-flesh union, that the two are one, and you can't just undo it. You can't separate one. And he says that's what marriage is. And so his disciples are responding in verse 10, and they're basically saying, Jesus, if this is what marriage is, it's better not to marry. And you can understand their thinking, their sentiment there. I mean, Jesus has said some pretty serious things about marriage. And they're saying, well, better not to marry. It's better to be single. Better to never marry. Now, I will say that there are situations in which they're right. I have seen couples who, frankly, would have been much better off not marrying. Because in marriage, they are now one for the rest of their lives. And you just don't undo one. And Jesus, so the disciples are saying, this is really hard. This is a hard saying. And Jesus actually acknowledges how hard the reality is. He says, verse 11, look at verse 11. He's acknowledging it to them. He said to them, not everyone can receive this saying, but only those to whom it is given. And he's referring to verse 9. The saying is his, where he just got done saying, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery. And he's saying, if you're divorced, you shouldn't remarry. And not everyone likes that. But Jesus isn't teaching what we like. He's teaching the truth. And sometimes we don't like the truth. And it's a hard saying. And Jesus is acknowledging, yeah, it is a hard saying. Not everyone can receive this. And then Jesus discusses singleness in verse 12. And he's discussing it for two reasons. The first reason he's discussing singleness is verse 9. Because he's saying that, basically, if you're divorced, remain single. Then he's discussing it, he's addressing his question, the question of his disciples in verse 10, where they're saying it's better to remain single if this is what marriage is. And so Jesus is going to talk about being single now. That's what his reference to the eunuchs are. So I don't know if you know the English word eunuch. A eunuch was a person who, male, who was unable to have children. They were infertile. Consequently, they did not marry. And he's using eunuchs as a metaphor for it's better not to marry. It's better to remain single. He's using it as a metaphor for singleness. It's a picture of being single. And he's saying that people are single for different reasons. They're eunuchs for different reasons. Some are born that way. Some are forced to be eunuchs by other men. Usually these were people who were the losers in war, and they were generally castrated by whoever won the war. And some make themselves eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of heaven, Jesus says. But this is really, he's really talking about singleness, and to Jesus, being single is a good thing. He actually says that there are people who might choose singleness for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. That's a good thing. And it's not that he thinks marriage is bad. He just got done talking about the holiness of marriage, how holy it is. To Jesus, marriage is a really good thing. It really is. But so is singleness. And I think sometimes, I've seen this in the church. Actually, it's not just in the church. It's outside the church, too. Perhaps it's just a human nature thing. I think we need to rethink our view of being single. Because sometimes we hold up marriage as the ultimate thing that will make us happy. And it won't. marriage isn't the thing that will make you happy. Jesus will make you happy. Marriage, no. And you don't need marriage to have Jesus. And if you're not happy single, you will not be happy married. And sometimes we have this idea that people have to be married, and we ignore what God says about the goodness of being single. And we sort of hold up marriage as the, in English, I would say the gold standard. I don't know if you know that idiom, but it's the idea is it's the ultimate. It's the thing you got to have. But we hold up marriage as the gold standard for life. And we think, oh, you're not married yet? As if there's something wrong with you. That's messed up. That's not biblical thinking. And if, I know when I was single, and I didn't get married till I was in my 30s, so I was single for a good amount of time, at least according to the culture. My parents were always on me about, when are you going to get married? When are you going to get married? And I would be willing to say that you've had moms or dads or other, relatives or so on, if you were single for any length of time, who talked this way to you. I had it. Sometimes you've had friends who did this, and you know what? They mean well. They're not trying to put you down or anything. But they talk as if you are somehow incomplete until you have a spouse. And when you get a spouse, now you're complete. And sometimes that can rub off on us. We start thinking that way because we hear it so much. Listen, guys, the idea that you are incomplete because you are single is garbage. It just is. There is nothing in Scripture that endorses that kind of thinking. And I think most people would agree with that. Even the people who talk this way would agree with that. When they talk this way, it's not that they're overtly saying you need a spouse to be complete. And yet, that's sort of assumed in that talk. It's sort of an under-the-surface idea. It's not an idea most people would necessarily put forward if they were to think it through. And yet, that idea comes through. And so, the idea that you need marriage to be happy or fulfilled is just garbage. Jesus was single. Was he happy? Was he fulfilled? Paul was single. Was he happy? Was he fulfilled? Daniel very likely was single his entire life. John, as far as we know, was single. If he ever got married, we don't know about it. Did these men live rich, full, happy lives? Guys, you do not have to be married to be happy. You just don't. In fact, you can choose singleness intentionally. Jesus says there are eunuchs who make themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of God. And if you want an example of such a person, Jesus. That's what he did. He chose singleness for the sake of the kingdom of God. Now, being single has some advantages. It gives you more freedom to serve God. Paul actually talks about this in 1 Corinthians 7 when he talks about marriage and singleness, but we're not on that text, so I'm not going to go there. And so what I want to do is I want you to see this choice is legitimate and good and healthy. And there are people who choose it. And we need to honor them. But it's not for everyone. Verse 12, Jesus then says, he's just got done talking about singleness, and he says, let the one who is able to receive this receive it. Not everyone is able to receive this. But some do. Some examples. Sam Albury is such a person. Sam Albury experiences same-sex attraction. But he recognizes the biblical view of marriage and that it's male and female. And so he sees himself as being committed to singleness for the sake of the kingdom of God. He realizes I can never marry, at least if this is, you know, how what I experience. I don't really experience attraction to women. And so I don't see myself ever getting married. And so he's chosen a life of singleness for the sake of the kingdom of God. I have a friend, a woman, a believer, older, single, not looking to marry, perfectly content serving the kingdom of heaven. I've met many people who read what Jesus says here about divorce and remarriage, and are just, they're the same. They're choosing to remain single because of what Jesus says here. They see it, they say, oh. And so this is not a theory about singleness. It's real people who've chosen it for the sake of the kingdom of God. But just as marriage is not for everyone, neither is singleness for everyone. Jesus says, let the one who is able to receive it, receive it. It's for some people. But those who choose it, it's good. It's good. So marriage is good, but so is singleness. And what matters in the end is neither marriage nor singleness, but the kingdom of God. That's what matters in the end. And we are called to advance that kingdom first. We are called to Jesus first. And neither marriage nor singleness should get in the way of that. And so we've talked about a lot of stuff today, all dealing in some way with gender, because marriage is a gendered thing. And I want you to know that this concept of male and female is a really good thing. We need to honor it. We also need to honor marriage. But we also need to honor singleness. They're all good. Because in the end, both of those things, marriage and singleness, fall under the kingdom of God, which is even more important than they are. Father, we bless your name and thank you for how you have created this world. And how good it is. I just want to give thanks to you for the women here. And you have made them that way. And I just want to pray blessing and honor over them. And I want to give thanks to you as well for the men here. For you've made them that way. And pray a prayer of blessing and honor over them as men. We're grateful to you, we bless you, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.